Welcome to the Robotics Process Automation Podcast with Digital Workforce Solution. Throughout this series, we'll provide all of the latest information and insights around RPA to help you streamline your workflows, increase your organization's profitability, and raise your employees' overall satisfaction and engagement. You can learn more about the benefits of software robotics and implementation by visiting digitalworkforcesolution.com. Here is your host, Matthew Gustitis.
Hello and welcome to podcast episode 5 of Digital Workforce Solution. This is Matt Gustitis, Chief Executive Officer, and I will be your host for today's podcast. I am happy to be joined by our new Chief Financial Officer, Michelle DeMarco. Welcome, Michelle. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Nice to be joining you on the podcast.
Great. So, Michelle, you've had a lot of different senior executive roles over the years and have a lot of breadth of experience in different industries and different areas across different organizations. Can you share a little bit about your professional background for the audience?
Yeah, sure. So I'll give a high-level overview, but just I'll first start way back when I first started my career was with Rolls-Royce and really started in customer support. And as part of that, my kind of role in that position, I was asked to be part of what they called a business process reengineering project. And what they were doing is looking at upgrading their version of SAP at that time. So I was very fortunate to be on that kind of really early stage in my career where it was about process improvement. And I just learned a ton from that stuck with me throughout my entire career. After Rolls-Royce, I moved to the Dow Chemical Company and spent a lot of time in both a business finance role as well as in their treasury function. And again, that process review always stuck with me. Every position that I had kind of since I've started has always been about improving the process that you have. So I spent quite a bit of time with Dow Chemical. And then after Dow Chemical, went to Owens Corning, where I was the assistant treasurer. And again, process was always a part of what I was doing. And then moved to Simon Property Group, which is based in Indianapolis. And in that role, I was vice president of treasury and capital markets. And then from there, I started in to the tech space where I joined Genesys. Genesys is based in the San Francisco area, and they had acquired Interactive Intelligence in Indianapolis. So came to the company really to help them build out their treasury function and help some of their other business processes. And then most recently was CFO at Invista. Invista is a supply chain consulting as well as technology company based in Carmel, Indiana, and then now very excited to be joining with Digital Workforce Solutions.
Great. Thank you, Michelle. So with all of that experience that you've had over those years in various industries and in those in some cases, very large organizations, what drove you to now decide to want to get involved with process automation?
You know, it's something that I'm really passionate about. And I mentioned that one of my first roles really, you know, at a really kind of junior point in my career was in business process reengineering. And that really struck, you know, it stuck with me my entire career because every position as I continued to move up in my career was always about improving a process to make it more efficient. You know, and I look back, you know, years ago, it wasn't so much about technical automation. It was about the business process. And really what I've learned throughout my entire career is that business process improvement is so important because you do not want to automate a bad process. So you really do need to get efficient with your processes. Now, there's some level of you don't want to, you know, kind of spin your wheels to make a process infinitely, you know, better or to the point where you kind of worked everything out. There's a lot that you can now do with technology. But, you know, it's really just been a passion of mine since the very beginning of my career. And it's something I always tried to do is come in and see how things work, take an assessment. You know, that's kind of the typical stage you go through is assess the current state. And then look at what that process is, what really you're trying to do, and then from there to then, you know, make that process better and much more efficient. So, you know, now coming into Digital Workforce Solutions with our our objective to help companies become more efficient and then to automate those processes is really just a perfect fit for me.
Yeah, that's great, Michelle. You know, you're right. You're spot on with the fact that, you know, companies are clearly needing help in that process improvement space. So so with that experience that you have and that drive to, you know, improve processes, you know, what would you say is maybe the number one roadblock that organizations that that you've been in charge of have really run up against? What would be that biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge is really always change management. You know, it is a change, and just getting people to understand that what you're trying to do is make it better. There's a lot of change management processes that need to happen. And so I think probably the number one roadblock is just, first of all, change management, of making sure there's good communication as to what you're trying to do, why it's important, and what the end result of what your objective of what you're trying to do. So that, to me, I think is really the number one roadblock. And I think the other part of it is just that, you know, there is a roadblock where I think everything tends to be, people tend to start to think that, you know, you need to have a technology, you need to have a technology solution to be able to solve a problem. But you really can get started with just business process improvement. And again, that all comes right back to change management. As like, you don't, a lot of people will have, well, we've always done it this way. We're kind of fear of the unknown. What are we trying to do here? And so you kind of get stuck in this paralysis state at the very beginning.
Yeah, that's really good, Michelle. You're absolutely right. You know, that's something that organizations probably sometimes don't think about, is the aspect of, you know, really driving change within the organization, even more than just trying to put a technology solution in place. So that's really, really good. So in your opinion, and, you know, based on a lot of your previous experience, What industries are you seeing really stand to have the biggest benefit from implementing, you know, robotic process automation, intelligent automation, those types of process improvement and automation space?
You know, I really think all industries can benefit, and I think really even kind of all sizes of companies can benefit. I have a pretty diverse background in terms of not only size of company, but the industry that I've worked in, different ownership structures. So I know sometimes, you know, when you have like a privately held company versus a public company, there can be this perception that, hey, this won't work for this type of company. And I really don't see that to be the case. So in terms of industries where number one, I think all industries can benefit from this. When I look though at, okay, where could this really have a significant impact? And it's in industries where you have a lot of manual repetitive work to start with. That's kind of the first start that you have with the automation. Certainly healthcare, as we all know, has a lot of opportunity for automation. There's a lot of manual processes there, but it's not just healthcare. I mean, you can go to even financial services. There's a lot of paper that happens. And, you know, a lot of my background I've worked a lot with shared services centers and within the finance function. And there's just a lot of manual steps there. So I really think it's all industries, but certainly if you have an industry or even a company where you have a lot of manual steps, that's where you can start first.
Yeah, that's great, Michelle. You know, that you brought up a good point about, it doesn't necessarily mean that they, you know, it has to be a specific industry, because, you know, what industry doesn't have, you know, repetitive work? Most all of them do. So that definitely, that's a good point that you bring up. So when you think about, you know, with your experience, you know, being a CFO, leading organizations, what would you recommend to other CFOs that might be, or even just other financial leaders, or even if they're not necessarily on the finance path, but for those that might be in leadership roles, and as they're thinking about, you know, what they should do to get started, what would you say, or what would you recommend to those types of people?
My first recommendation would be to kind of step back and first figure out your strategy and put a plan together. Like, what are you trying to accomplish here? Figure out what your end objective is going to be, and then also determine, you know, are you ready, or is the company ready to go on a journey? It's certainly a journey to automate processes. It's not something that can be done in a 2 month time period. So you really do need to put together an overall business plan. And it's not just about the financials that obviously would go into like a business case to support your business plan, but you really need to put together a strategy for your automation journey. And what that means is, okay, where are we going to start? How are we going to build upon this? Are there phases of automation that we have? And really just kind of step back and say, okay, what do we want to accomplish here? And why are we doing this? How is this going to help us? Put together a solid change management plan and make sure you have that level of understanding within your company. And so that when you have a team that gets formed to start going down this journey, that everyone's aware, there's good communication, there's a change management plan in place, and that it's supported by the senior executives within the company in order to be successful. In my opinion, you need to have those level of plans in place and that level of understanding across the executive team to be successful. So that my first recommendation for anyone in a senior leadership position looking at automation and how to get started is to spend the upfront time to kind of build a foundation and then understanding as to what it is that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that's great, Michelle. And that's something, you know, at Digital Workforce Solution, that's what we really strive for providing to our clients is the capabilities to really think through strategically, like you just said, and really to be able to put together a plan that doesn't just sustain for the short term, but actually, you know, sustainable for the long term. So I think that's a really good point. And I think something that organizations may at sometimes struggle with really seeing the short term and the long term and really having a plan that leads them to success. So that's a really good point.
So, yeah, and I can't emphasize enough that having that communication plan and change management is really, really important. It's a key part of it because as, you know, you go through this process to do automation, there's a lot of people who will be involved, all the way from the top of the company, all the way down, you know, to the people who are actually doing the work. And without that solid kind of change management and communication, you get some roadblocks, you get choppiness, you get misunderstanding. And if everyone is not aligned and on the same page, it's just going to take that journey that you had planned and it's going to add additional time to it. It's going to add frustration and frankly, additional costs too, because you're delaying the time to implement.
Yeah, that's really good, Michelle. It sounds like this is a lot of what you've had to experience in the past and some of those key learnings that you probably can help, you know, other organizations understand and hopefully avoid some of the pitfalls that come up.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's great. So is there anything else that you'd recommend to, you know, fellow CFOs or other leaders that, you know, when you think about, you know, with they're sitting there and they need to make some decision on this or understand the cost benefit of it, is there any other recommendations you give to them?
I think gets back a lot of what I was saying earlier. My biggest recommendation is make sure that you're in this for the journey. Have a strategy and a plan on this. So, you know, it has to be something that the company is going to be committed to. It can't be a pet project for kind of one person or one small group. It has to be something that the company is committed to do as part of their overall strategy. So your automation and digital transformation has to be a part of your company's strategy. It can't be, you know, kind of in one group without that overall buy-in of the company. So that again is my number one thing is making sure that you have that kind of, you know, aligned across the organization and to really work on that. And one bit of advice is if you're not there yet, is to do some research, maybe bring in some experts who can help educate and just provide additional knowledge to the group. Talk to other peers who've implemented automation at other companies, maybe some of your peer group, to get their experience. And, you know, what I've learned is that everyone is always willing to share information about automation and how it works. And, you know, having been at several conferences and hearing what other companies are doing, it's really There's a lot of information that's out there. It is a quickly developing world in digital transformation. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's saying they're going to do it. But then when you get, you know, you kind of look back and you pull back the covers as to how it's actually happening, there's a lot of messiness that's happening. And so my bit of advice would be do some of that upfront work and research before you kind of jump into things.
That's great. No, that's excellent. That's great, Michelle. So I really just wrapping up the last question, it's a little different type of question, just out of curiosity. So are you seeing, from your perspective, do you see the work from home or hybrid work environments and those that are returning to work, are you seeing much impact on workforce optimization, or what are you seeing from that, the impact on workforce at this point?
I think what we are seeing, or what I saw, you know, in my most recent role as CFO at Envista and talking to other CFOs, is that any efforts that were ongoing previous to, you know, to the kind of COVID pandemic happening, where we had this big shift in the workforce, is that there's been an acceleration of automating processes or making it easier to work from home, less paper. You know, you start to see a lot more get done kind of remotely. And then that hybrid kind of workspace now, I think my personal opinion is, I think that's here to stay. I think many, particularly, you know, maybe a younger generation coming up, really looking for more flexibility. And if you think about it now, we're so far into this now, a lot of people who are in the workforce have really never known a different way. And, you know, frankly, in my opinion, it's working. Maybe it doesn't work for every single type of job, but overall, you know, kind of overall, I believe that it's working. And I do think it has accelerated companies' desire to, you know, to go through a digital transformation, because just the risk of having paper and, you know, making sure you have a business continuity plan in place, so a BCP plan. And, you know, that's something I look back, and there was one of the companies I worked for, we did an enormous amount of work on business continuity planning. And this was kind of pre-COVID, you know, well before the pandemic. And I often think back on that experience and just, gosh, if we hadn't done that, I don't know how, you know, some of the work would have gotten done, because a lot of it was paper and manual and handing paper documents to other people. And we did, you know, automate a lot of that so that, you know, we had a business continuity planning in place. We were thinking about it from a weather perspective, being in the Midwest in the winter, you can often not be able to go into the office. So thankfully, though, that was put in place. But back to your question on the hybrid workforce, and I just think it's here to stay. And I actually think it has continued to accelerate the desire to do a digital transformation for many, many companies.
Yeah, that's great, Michelle. And you have a really good point about, you know, COVID and everything that the organizations have had to go through over the last few years has really changed the way they look at, you know, just even getting the work done. So it's definitely leveraging, you know, your workforce and optimizing it, whether it's, you know, assisting it with technology or whether it's, you know, maximizing the use of what they do. I think that is really important to organizations. So, no, that's great. Thanks, Michelle. I appreciate all of the interesting information on this. Very helpful, I think, to our audience, and look forward to more opportunities to speak with you about just how, you know, digital workforce solution and your role within that can really help, you know, drive the work that's needed with some of the organizations that are looking to get in this space. So that wraps it up for this episode 5 of Digital Workforce Solution Podcast. You can follow us on our podcast channel, and you can also follow us on LinkedIn as well. And if you would like to connect with us, you can follow us at www.digitalworkforcesolution.com. So thanks for joining us today, Michelle, and look forward to more opportunities in the next episode coming up. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Robotics Process Automation Podcast. To learn even more or to schedule a free consultation, visit digitalworkforcesolution.com.